Well, good morning, friends. Good to see you here in person and good to see you online, too, as we continue on in our Ancient Wisdom series. And I want to say Happy Father's Day. I know Donna said that right, but Happy Father's Day, dads. We're going to look today at a dad, an example of a dad that we can learn some valuable lessons from. Now, I'll tell you, I believe it's a great honor to be a father. Okay, I'm a dad. I love this role. All three of my boys are grown men now. But I look back on the years together I spent with them with great satisfaction. It was a lot of fun. Now, I do realize there are many aspects to this role that we are called to live. Now, I brought a whistle with me today. Okay, now, I use this when I used to coach. Okay, and I call the kids to order, and I instructed and I encouraged the boys. And I did that to my sons as they grew up. Now, I also use this when I refereed high school soccer. Anyone who has more than one child understands the role of referee, right? Sure we do. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I was with my grandchildren, and they were arguing about playing with me, and I finally walked out after saying this, okay, you two, figure it out, and then come get me, and we'll go from there, okay? A referee. Now, how about this hat here? Okay? Right? I believe a dad is an educator at times. Most of the time, we learn from watching what others are doing, and our children learn from watching us act and react to certain things. We teach them values, we teach them relational dynamics, we teach them work ethics, all kinds of good things. We are definitely teachers to our children. Now, I also believe a father is a guide. Now, I have this headlamp here that I use when I'm out walking in the dark. Okay, it's got three levels of brightness. Okay, so here's what I do. I walk along, and anybody coming behind me can know exactly where to step because they see where I'm stepping. You ever noticed how we serve this role for our children, guys? Because they're watching us to see where we walk, and as we walk, so will they walk. We help our children navigate the journey of life. Now, here's another one. Right? We serve this role as children too, as fathers too, as we help our children navigate the danger zones, right? I'll tell you what, there are times when my boys still come back to me for advice. How they should do, what they should do, how they should approach an opportunity coming their way. And these times still fill me with joy because I continue to get to pour into them. Hey, I guess when it's all said and done, the reality of it is a father's job is all about building their children. We're building our children a strong and firm foundation so they can navigate life that's coming. Now, there are not many fathers who want what is bad for their children. Dads don't want their children to fail in life. Now, we hear horror stories, sure. And maybe you had a poor example as a father. If that's the case, I want to say I'm sorry. Because that's not how God intended dads to be. So you see, the negative things we've experienced, negative things we've seen, that's not the role models we want to fill as we help our children build lives. The roles and the models that we're going to look at today, I believe all fathers are called to examine, to exemplify, and exhibit. My oldest son is 36 years old. My twin sons are 33. Now, I'll tell you what, I didn't always hit these markers in life. However, I did want to be the type of person they could imitate and someone who they could come to for help and wisdom. So the person we're going to look at today is King David. Now, I mentioned a few weeks ago, we can learn from other people's mistakes as well as from the good things people do. David's practice as a father can be seen in the way he had his relationship with his oldest son, Adonijah. His story is found in 1 Kings 1. And the key idea for today: a good father is willing to practice the art of interference. While David was a good leader for the nation of Israel, he did have some issues when it came to being a dad. Now, we learn about his parenting techniques as his son grew older. Now, in the times his story was told, kings often had multiple wives, so they had multiple children from these multiple wives. Now, David had an extremely dysfunctional household later on. If you want to read more of his story, you go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, go right forward from there. But the story we're going to look at today occurs right at the end of David's life. He's getting ready to die, and so this was a critical juncture for the nation of Israel because the baton of leadership was going to be passed. So Adonijah stepped up as the oldest living son and decides it's time for him to take control and be king. And here's what we read in the Bible. Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, put himself forward and said, "I will be king." So he got chariots and horses ready. He had 50 men to run ahead of him. And then comes a very telling comment about David as a dad. Here's what it says. His father had never interfered with him by asking, "Why do you behave the way you do?" Now let's get back to the theme of the day. I believe a good father is willing to practice the art of interference. Now this goes for every parent, everyone who has influence into a child's life, okay? Even grandparents. We need to practice the art of interference at times. David, by his actions, showed an unwillingness to interfere. And the word is interesting to me because it means to carve or to shape or to fabricate something. And it also carries a term for physical and mental discomfort. Now, how does this term apply to fatherhood? Well, men, our job is to form our children into the people God wants them to be. Now, I brought a chisel with me today. Now, I read a book about Michelangelo one time. And Michelangelo said, when he looked at a piece of marble, his job was to chip away the stone until he could reveal the figure that was inside the stone. Now, what does a chisel do? A chisel removes pieces, whatever you're trying to get to, and so you can get the job accomplished that you have in mind. Now, dads, we see potential in our children, and we want them to be the best people they can be. And so our job is to chip away at things that would prohibit them from achieving their potential. Now, this chipping away is not always perceived as pleasant or even desired by our children. We were all kids at one time. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? However, a good dad is willing to practice the art of interference. Now, looking at David, we recognize he did not interfere in the life of his son. Now, I know David had many responsibilities as a leader of a nation. But when he noticed negative behavior, a good father steps in. But instead, David stepped away, and he let his son do whatever he wanted to do. In fact, I believe personally, his dad probably stepped in and covered for him at different times. And the trouble was, with this type of practice, with no discipline, Adonijah turned out to be a selfish jerk. Now, no parent wants that label for their children. However, if we don't interfere, who's going to do it? Solomon, who became king after David, evidently had a different relationship with his dad. David instructed his son Solomon, and Solomon wrote down some of the things he learned from his dad. I put just a couple on the screen for you today. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Here's a famous one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Or discipline your son. He will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Those are just some of the things that Solomon learned from his dad. So why was Solomon different from his older brother? I got to believe maybe David was preoccupied with what was going on around him when his older sons were younger. You know, maybe, and granted, he had to pull a nation together. He was living on life on the run before he became king. And even after he became king, there were wars to be fought. There were people to be put under subjection and also to grow the nation. So maybe he became so preoccupied with his job, he just didn't have time. So why was Solomon different? Well, I think dad took time with Solomon. See, what we know from looking at David is that dads are supposed to interfere. And if we see our children stepping onto the wrong path or heading in a direction that will be detrimental to them, we step in. We do something. So right now, my newest grandson, he's 8 months old today, in fact. He's been prescribed with a lazy eye, diagnosed with lazy eye. So the ophthalmologist has prescribed an eye patch he's supposed to wear, which I think is really going to be cool if it happens toward October, because he can be a pirate, right? Okay? But so Luke says Porter doesn't like this eye patch at all. He's supposed to wear it an hour a day. When they put it on, as soon as they turn their back on him, you know what he does? He rips it off. Yeah, he rips it off. He's 8 months old. He gets it. But they keep putting it back on. Now, why do they do that? Even though it's not a pleasant thing, they want what's best for their little man. Because they know in the long run it's going to benefit him, even though it's no fun right now. You see, a good father interferes. Interference is not a bad thing when it comes to parenting. Our children need it. Now, we don't interfere to cause undue pain or hardship. But one of the benefits of us having age and experience is that we understand what does and doesn't work. Our children can benefit from situations we've encountered and outcomes we've endured so they don't have to travel that same path, right? That's our job as parents. So looking at David and the ancient wisdom he provides for us, I see two distinct ways that dads in particular, but all parents and caregivers of children, can make a difference in the life of kids. The first thing is another I word. We've got to be involved. Choose involvement. What does involvement look like? Well, I remember watching the 1992 Barcelona Olympics when the semifinal in the 400-meter run took place. And it was at that moment in time that I witnessed what is now described as the third most memorable event ever to take place in the Olympics. So I have a little short video here, and I want you to look at this.
Derek Redmond didn't finish in first place in the 1992 400 meter.
Redmond has broken down.
He didn't finish in second, or third, or fourth. He and his father finished dead last. But he and his father finished.
That touches me every time I see it. I can still remember Jim Redmond pushing his way down through the stands, pushing his way out through the officials on the track to get to his son who had ruptured his hamstring. And his words to Derek when he came alongside his son, he said, "Son, I'm here. We're going to finish this race together." And they did. See, I look at this and I realize what it means to be involved as a dad. A dad's always present, always watching, always ready to spring into action. But a father has to be there in order to be ready to teach the life lessons that invariably come up in the course of a day. Dwayne Choice is one of our church planters at Engage Christian Church in Forest Park. He grew up on the west side of the city in the Austin neighborhood. You all know, you've all heard stories about Austin, one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the city. It's been that way for years. And on a prayer walk through the city of Chicago in Austin, I asked Dwayne what it was like growing up there. He said, "Lance, it's everything you've heard. Drugs, gangs, violence, taking place every day." And I had a lot of friends that got caught up in that. And so I asked him, I said, "Dwayne, how did you escape that?" He said, "Well, it's very, very simple. I had a mom and a dad who cared about me. They were always there for me. They parented me together. My dad was always there. He still is today. And he made sure we went to church where we grew up." He said he would drop us off outside church and then go home. But he said, "When I came into high school, God got a hold of him, and everything changed at that point in time. He became a strong follower of Jesus himself." He said, "I owe where I am today to my father, and we continue to have a strong relationship to this point in time." In fact, his dad is a part of his church. Now imagine that, the involvement of a dad making a positive impact. You see, I knew it real early on what kind of dad I wanted to be. It was one word. I wanted to be involved. Now, don't get me wrong. There were seasons when I didn't do as well as I should have. My oldest was 9 months old. We went into a building project at the church I was pastoring. And for about 9 months, I was working 80-plus hours a week. But that was a season. That was not the normal. See, I have so many memories, fond memories of being involved in the lives of my boys, watching them grow up, coaching them in sports, playing with them, cheering them on through junior high and high school activities, hunting with them, working with them, all sorts of different projects, on and on and on, because I wanted to be involved. I had the privilege of performing the marriage ceremony for two of my sons and then watching them become fathers themselves. I still love being involved in the lives of my boys. In fact, in the past week, I've seen all of them. One lives in Aurora, one lives down by Champaign, one lives about 6 blocks away from us. And I spent time with all of them the past week. I love my boys. I love my boys. I asked my youngest a couple of years ago when I was thinking about being a father. I said, would you say I was a father who was involved? He laughed. He said, oh, Dad, you're nothing but involved. Okay. He said, you still come to my indoor soccer games. He's 33. Okay. Yeah. So I like to watch him play soccer. Okay. I'll tell you what, I think this is one of the greatest things about being a dad. I really do. The chance to be involved in the lives of my children. I mean, if we're not present, guys, we don't know when interference needs to take place. The earlier we practice interference in the lives of our children, the more obstacles they're going to miss later in life, okay? So let's practice interference. Now, there's a second word, and that is the word instruction. So we choose involvement. I think we also need to be instructors. It goes back to that educator hat I wore. There are so many ways we put this word in action as we practice interference with our children. From us, our children learn how to interact with others, how to navigate through challenging times. They learn what good work and personal habits look like, right? From watching us. I like what Albert Schweitzer had to say on this. He said, example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. Little eyes are always watching, right? And they love to practice the art of imitation. I think of the time when my oldest did something. He was a lot younger. He did something, and his mother looked at me and said, huh, wonder where he learned that from. I knew exactly where he learned it from because I had done the same thing just before that, okay? Yeah, little eyes are always watching. Now, there are a lot of different areas of instruction we can look at. I want to look at one, though. I want to consider the first and most important one as a follower of Jesus. We get to teach our children what it means to follow Jesus as dads. It's one of the greatest privileges we have to give as a father. And when it comes to passing the faith along, I think the words of Abraham Lincoln speak very, very, very clearly. He said, there is just one way to bring up a child in the way he should go, and that is to travel the way yourself. I brought two cups with me today. Which one do you think Darla considers more valuable? Okay. Yeah. This is a throwaway, isn't it? Okay. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Because she does. She considers it valuable, right? This is crystal. Okay. This is crystal. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to being a dad and the art of instruction, there are so many things we need to teach our kids. So many things, life lessons we need to pass on. Hey, let's not forget the most important thing of all, because when it comes to showing our children Jesus, that's the thing that's going to carry them the furthest. Several weeks ago, Chris Oberheim, a Champaign police officer, lost his life when he was shot by a criminal during a domestic dispute. My oldest son was one of the officers who participated in the honor guard for this fallen hero. He told me about the funeral. You see, Officer Oberheim was a follower of Jesus. Each of his four daughters and his wife shared stories about their husband and father. They talked about the hope they had. They talked about the comfort they've received from knowing who their husband was, who their father was, and where he was now. All because he was a follower of Jesus. And from what they said, he showed them what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. You see, God wants people in heaven with him. It only happens as people find a relationship with Jesus. So dads, our children are counting on us to help them find God. And our children learn about what it means to follow Jesus and the value we place on by watching us. Because they see. They know. I mean, how do we respond to times of testing? What do we do when we're faced with opportunities to step out in faith or shrink back in fear? How do we choose when it comes to difficult decisions? What's our practice? What priority do we give as we have our relationship with Jesus? And how often or for what reasons do we ignore getting together on Sunday morning with our family, the church? You see, we get to interfere in a positive way as we instruct through our actions. I know every dad here wants to be an effective father. We all want what's best for our children. So let me leave you with just a couple things to put into action in the coming week, okay? First of all, dads, grow your relationship with Jesus. My encouragement is to read this book. Because it tells us how to have that relationship. I'd like to encourage you to read the book of John this next week, or part of the book of John, fourth book of the New Testament, because it'll tell you what it means to follow Jesus. And as you read it, ask the Lord what adjustments you need to make. We all need to continue to make adjustments, right? Secondly, I want to encourage you to talk with your children about the ways you see God in action around you. This is one of my favorite activities as a dad. It continues to be that way as a grandfather now because I get to say, hey, look, that's what God does. And my grandchildren say, oh. Well, keep your eyes open. Show your kids, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews that God is real. And then last but not least, make sure you schedule time for involvement. Remember the chisel. So while it's important to chip away at our children as we shape their lives, I think it's equally as important to schedule involvement with God to let him chip away at us. I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of chipping left to go. And God just keeps chipping away as I spend time with him. There's always new levels of growth to attain. So let him keep on working on us, and then let's each of us enjoy being involved in the lives of those blessings that God's given us, our children. Dads, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much just for the rich privilege of being a dad. And you understand, because you are a dad also. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as fathers to be the men you want us to be. To be the examples worthy of imitation because our children are watching. And thank you again for the love you give us and the grace you provide us. When we don't always be the men you want us to be, we can just pick ourselves up and start again. And you're with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.